Well, good morning, everybody. This is Robert Tavares, Director of Education for Lee Arnold System, and He's a Solution Ministries. And this is our He's a Solution message for August 23rd, 2020. And I just continually amazed at how quickly time is flying. This morning, I want to take us to a book that don't always get a message out of, Hosea chapter 4, as you turn there. Let me give you a little bit of background of where this is coming from. As I mentioned earlier, Lee is not going to be with us this morning. He asked me to fill in a little earlier in the week. And so, you know, I was praying a big part of this week, God, what is it that that you want me to share on Sunday? And I probably need to go back a little bit further, because I've been praying about something else a lot, and that is just my growing frustration with the misinformation that's being propagated through this whole election cycle and what's been going on and in the news and so forth. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't watch the news. I don't even have a television service right now. I made that a conscious choice. I don't have time to spend watching TV, so I don't watch the news, but I do read off and on different clips and what's going on the internet to try to keep up with things here and there. And I have been so terribly burdened by the misinformation and the lies that are out there and what's going on, and the political correctness, and which is so incorrect. And I have been really troubled when I hear or read certain people flat out deny their obvious track record, and they flip-flop on where they stand on issues simply because they think it's going to play better to the media. And then they accuse someone else of doing what they're actually doing and condemn it. It has just really eaten at me a little bit. And I got to the point where I didn't know what to pray anymore about this. And so my prayers have become, Lord, what is your will? What should I be praying about here? And, you know, God gave me an answer to that prayer. He said, pray for truth. He said, pray that truth would be known, be made known clearly. And so that's where this message is coming from. It's the idea of truth. And so I did some research and found out that the Bible, at least the New International Version, uses the word truth 137 times, 35 times in the Old Testament, 102 times in the New Testament. A few of these references are simply admonitions to speak the truth, but a great deal of them are proclamations of what truth is, how to find it, encouragement to cherish the truth and to seek it out, and the need for truth. And finally, there's a whole lot of scripture that talks about the cautions of what happens when we abandon the truth. John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's truth that opens blind eyes. It's truth that sets us free from the bonds of sin and death. It is truth that ultimately gives life, brings happiness and fulfillment. This is what God led me to start praying for. Through all the mess, through all the garbage, through all the political correctness that is being spewed out there, God has directed me to pray that truth would be clear, that truth would be made known. And so I'm going to challenge you to take up that prayer. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to focus on truth. So Hosea, kind of a strange place to take us to for this, but that's where we're going to be. Hosea chapter 4. You follow along as I read the whole chapter, all 19 verses. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bonds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Now, just to be clear, this is not talking about today, although I think there's a lot of applications to today. This is Old Testament Israel that this charge is against, although it very well could apply to us today. Verse 3, because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are swept away. But let no one bring a charge. Let no one accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They fed on their sins. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not flourish, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. Old wine and new wine take away their understanding. My people consult a wooden idol, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills. Under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-laws when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you, Israel, commit adultery, do not let Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth-Aven. And do not swear, as surely as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, like stubborn heifers. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in the meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. You know, I always like to get a little background of the book before I get too deep into it. So let me tell you a little bit about the book of Hosea. Its author, obviously, is Hosea, but he reveals very little about his background throughout the book of prophecy and offers just a few glimpses into his life. His name means salvation, which is likely a reference to Hosea's position in Israel as a beacon of hope and calling people back to repentance and return to God through his message. It's interesting that if you read through the book, you will find that Hosea married someone named Gomer following the command of God. This was a bride God described as a wife of harlotry, Hosea 1:2. This was a woman who bore Hosea 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. We'll find that in 1, 4, 6, and 9. You can go back and read those. God used the names of Hosea's children along with his wife's unfaithfulness So she actually was very unfaithful to him. You'll see that through the book if you read the whole thing. To send a specific message to the people of Israel, he used the life of Hosea to model the relationship that God had with the people of Israel. Dating the book, we get that from some of the references that Hosea made in Hosea 1:1. He tells we realize that this is the late 18th century, 755 to 715 BC. We know this because he identifies the four kings that were ruling during his ministry: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. They reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah from 790 to 686 BC. And then there's Jeroboam II, who ruled the northern kingdom from 782 to 753. So putting all of that information together, we get a picture of when Hosea's ministry took place, and we realize he was a contemporary of Isaiah and Micah. More than any other prophet, Hosea linked his message closely with his personal life. As I mentioned, God directed him to marry a woman who would eventually betray his trust, who would give his children names that sent messages of judgment on Israel. Hosea's prophetic word flowed out of his life and his family. There are five cycles throughout the book that deal with judgment and restoration. He makes clear this theme that God will bring judgment on sin and we will always bring his people back to him. It's Hosea 14:4, where God's love for Israel, a nation of people more interested in themselves than in God's direction for their lives, shines through clearly against the darkness of their injustice and idolatry. The book of Hosea illustrates that nobody is beyond the offer of forgiveness, because no one sits out of God's offer to forgive. The message is clear that God's going to bring judgment, but just as Hosea's powerful act of restoration in his own marriage, that example was set so that the people would understand that God seeks to restore us, and he sets the bar for us to seek godliness in our lives. So that's kind of the backdrop of this book, of what is to be expected, of where it's leading. Let's jump into the message. Let's go back to verse 1. I'm also going to take us to the book of John, just FYI. So you may want to bookmark Hosea. Actually, I'm going to take you to a lot of verses, as always. But bookmark this spot in Hosea, because we're always going to come back to chapter 4 as we walk through this. But truth, as I mentioned, we're going to focus on truth. And I want you to write down this idea that truth cannot be found by focusing on a lie. Truth cannot be found by focusing on a lie. You cannot know truth by focusing on a lie. Alexander Pope, famous writer, once wrote, "Know then thyself. Presume not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man." Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, wrote a response to Pope's statement. So Charles says, "It has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God he calls his Father." People, we have got to focus on the truth of who God is and the truth of his word. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 again. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has charges to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bonds. The bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land dries up. All those who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are swept away. I want you to realize that there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of deception. 1 John, way at the end of the New Testament, if you'll turn there, 1 John 4, at least write the reference down. 1 John 4, 6. 1 John 4, 6 says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So this verse clearly shows us that there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of falsehood, or spirit of deception, depending on the translation that you're looking at. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. People, truth, ultimate truth, the spirit of truth is found in God. And if we choose or refuse or just don't want to know God or spend time knowing him, then we have chosen to ignore truth. And that leaves us only one other source to be listening to out there, and that is the spirit of deception that we read about in John 4, 6. I did some research, quick Google search, on belief in God. April 25, 2018 study, question, do you believe in God? 80% answered yes, but only 56% believe in God is described in the Bible. So this idea that we believe in God doesn't necessarily translate into a belief in the source of truth in the Bible. Barna Research, 40% of Christians do not believe that Satan is a living being, but just a symbol of evil. 8% were not sure what they believe about the existence of Satan. A Gallup poll from 2016 says 79% believe in God, 72% in angels, 71% in heaven. Only 64% believe in hell, 61% believe in the devil. A Google search that I did just a few minutes ago, I found one from Gallup. It's a Gallup poll. How many Americans believe in God? And the research that it goes on to explain says that they have asked this question over the past 20 years three different ways, and they have tracked the responses over the past 20 years as Gallup polls have been asking this question. And the first one is just a straight out, do you believe in God? In 2011 was the first time they asked the poll. They had 92% give an affirmative answer. The last time they asked it in 2017, that number had dropped to 87%. Again, that was simply, do you believe in God? Not any definition of who God is. Believing in God's word. In 2001 was the first time they asked that. That was a 90% affirmative. 2016, last time they asked it, 79%. And then here's an interesting one. In 2005, they began asking the question, are you convinced God exists? 79% answered in the affirmative in 2005. 2017, only 64%. What do you notice about the trends in all of these? I hope you see that the trends are decreasing over time. People are less and less and less inclined to believe in the God of the Bible, to believe in its truth, to believe in its wisdom, to believe in what the Bible holds, which is a telling statistic. Because as we found out in Hosea 4, 1 through 3, when we forsake the knowledge of God, truth and mercy are soon gone. Restraint and self-control are also gone, which leads to bloodshed and destruction. You know, in modern culture, we have chosen to throw off restraints. No boundaries, just do it. Color outside the lines. March to the beat of your own drummer. Find your own road. We celebrate individuality and even the radical today. You make your own rules, you answer to no one. You're the only one that matters. Your universe revolves around you, and you should only restrain yourself if you want to. People, when we take this mindset, this ideology that is so prevalent in today's culture and was even prevalent back in Hosea's time, when we take this to the logical conclusion, it leads to lawlessness and anarchy, and we see that in the streets rampant today across this country. It does not bring freedom we seek. It only brings slavery to a much more cruel taskmaster. Survival of the fittest and might makes it right. Everyone who dwells there will waste away. Paul, in his writings, I want to take you to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Book of Romans, chapter 1, because when Paul wrote this, it is not out of the realm of possibility that he had Hosea in his mind. Hosea 6, where it says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Let me take you to Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 24 says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged, verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to depraved minds so that they do what ought not be done. Look at Hosea 4:7. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. And then we find in Romans 1:23, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. And then Hosea 4:11 says, to prostitute old wine and new wine to take away their understanding. And we see in Romans 1, 21 and 22, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. People, there is this spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of deception. And I fear a great many in this country and around the world have fallen under this spirit of deception. And the only way back is for them to hear the gospel, to hear the word preached, the truth that it holds. John 8:12, Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:23, Jesus from above, others are from below. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. People, I see this happening so much today. This verse, Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. People, we have got to get focused in on the truth of God's word and the wisdom that it holds, and we have to be rooted ourselves in it lest we get caught up in this alternate world that is being created through this spirit of darkness that is taking hold around the world. People, not only do we need to get rooted in God's truth, but we need to be sharing this truth with others that are around us. And we have got to proclaim it. And we've got to point people back to it. People, Hebrews 5:13-14 says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. People, the only way we are going to know the difference between good and evil, between the lies that are being told each and every day and the truth that is out there, is if we know God's word and we know God. And he is a part of who we are, and we walk close to him, and we ask him to reveal the truth to us on a daily basis. First Timothy 6:2, the second half, all the way through verse 6. Teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches other doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing, but has a sick interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. People, there is a spirit of truth out there. We're going to find it in Jesus Christ. We're going to find it in God's word. But there is also a spirit of deception that we have got to be aware of. People, the people of Israel in Hosea's time in chapter 4 where we're reading, they got caught up with this spirit of deception. They got led astray. They did not walk with God. Therefore, the spirit of deception was able to lead them in another direction. Let's look at verse chapter 4. Of Hosea, verses 6 through 8. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people, and they relish their wickedness. Did you catch that first part? Because you have what? You have rejected knowledge. People, true wisdom and understanding always begins with the knowledge of God. Verse 6 tells us we are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Verse 6 also says that they rejected that knowledge. They ignored the law of God. In verse 7, they exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. Now, I'm reading about Israel in the time of Hosea. But I hope you see as clearly as I do that these words are no truer in Hosea's day than they are today. They are absolutely true of what's going on today in this world right now. Because we are exchanging God, the glorious God, for something disgraceful. We are exchanging the knowledge of God for deception. We are exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And we are going to lose the joy of knowing an almighty God for a deception that will kill and destroy. It's not that God's people are ignorant. Not completely ignorant. They have some knowledge, but not enough. The people in Hosea's time, they knew their history. They had known about God. They had studied. They weren't completely ignorant. But they didn't make God the center of their lives. They knew just enough about God to think they knew enough. They lacked a deep personal relationship with true knowledge and truth. They lacked that personal relationship with God. And people, that's what's lacking in today's culture and in today's society. We do not have a personal relationship with the creator of this universe. And because of that, we are subject to following this false truth. Well, there is an absolute connection between knowing God and knowing His Word. So many people out there think Bible knowledge is boring and brainy and not necessary for a real walk with God. And I hear them to tell you that you cannot separate the two. And you will be shocked when you choose to dig into the Word of God and how clear it can become when you pray for God to open your mind and open your heart to the truth that it holds. Now, I make it a practice to read through the Bible. And I'm not any special plan or anything. I just start. I'm in the middle of the Old Testament right now. I'm in Judges. And I just start at the beginning. I read through to the end. Some mornings, I'll read one chapter. Some mornings, I'll read six. It just depends on how much time I have and what's coming up. But I just read through the Bible, and I've read through the Bible several times, and it never ceases to amaze me that I can read something that I have read over and over again and how it holds a new truth and meaning. Not that it's new, but that it's something I didn't see before. And I'm able to see clearer and deeper and stronger the message and the truth that God holds in His Word. I will be the first to confess that I fail to read God's Word as much as I should. And there are times that I miss, that I get up late and the worries of the day are on top and I miss reading God's Word as I should. But I will tell you, it is those times that I feel distant from God. And it is those times that I begin to wonder about my faith. And when I am in God's Word each and every day, God speaks to me, and I am able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt of His existence, and His love, and His mercy, and that He indeed has all things in His control. People, when we know God for who He really is, it affects our conduct. But where there is no knowledge of God, no conviction of His omnipresence, of His omniscience, of when we fail to acknowledge that in our lives, that's when private offenses get to creep in. Adultery we begin to listen to that spirit of deception. God will hold us responsible. The message of Hosea is really clear. God will hold us responsible. It says, I will forget your children. God will hold the unfaithful minister, pastor, or preacher accountable. They have much to answer for before God, and we have much to answer for. When we choose to forget. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Again, John 8:31, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want you to look at Hosea verses 9 through 10 real quick, chapter 4. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. And then 11 through 14. I'm sorry, 10. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not flourish because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. Old wine and new wine take away their understanding. My people consult in wooden idols, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. The spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintop and burn offerings on the hills, under oaks, popular carabina, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution, your daughter-in-laws to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-laws when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. People, I want you to understand that when we believe the lies, that spirit of deception, when we believe the lies, we do not get the satisfaction that deception tries to promise. What we get is judgment. That's what these verses I just read are saying. And that's the story of the book of Hosea over and over again. It's when we become unfaithful to God, judgment comes. We are not immune from judgment. Even those who claim to know God, even those who preach and teach about God, that's what this tells us right here in Hosea. One aspect of the judgment that God promises is that Israel will not be blessed with increase. They will have, but it will never seem to be enough, and they will never be satisfied. Do you get the idea today that in our culture, there is this spirit of never being satisfied? Do you ever wonder why that is when we live in the most prosperous nation that has ever been on the face of this earth, that we can also live in a nation that is never, ever satisfied? Do you think it could be because we have turned our back on God? And we have lost that blessing in this country. The world does not bring ultimate satisfaction. The world cannot fill the truth hole that God created in our lives. Only God can fill our lives with his truth. People, we must get to the point where we live the truth and not just know about it. 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I have come to know him, yet does not keep his command, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It is not enough to have head knowledge. We must live the truth, not just know it. Proverbs 29:18, no vision, revelation, or truth, people cast off restraint. They perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Knowledge of truth brings blessings, brings salvation, brings godliness. In 1 Timothy 2:4, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Titus 1:1, Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to build up the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the people who believe in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. People, I told you I started this message because I was so troubled about the untruth that I've been seeing and hearing in culture and in society. And there really is only one solution. People, God's truth must be proclaimed. God's truth must be proclaimed. People, we have got to turn back to the Lord. We have got to seek God's ways and know his word and take it to heart and let it be part of who we are. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did you catch that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. People, if we are going to really know the truth, then we must know Christ. And if our society is going to know truth, then our society must be introduced to that ultimate truth, Jesus Christ. People, there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of deception. I want you to understand that true wisdom and understanding always begins with the knowledge of God. And that the lies of this world do not bring satisfaction that so many seek, but only bring judgment that is promised. And that we must live the truth and not just know it. And we must proclaim this truth. And we must share this truth if we expect a lost and dying world to ever find peace and happiness and return to God, we've got to share this truth. People, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that my prayer, and here's what I want to challenge you to do. My prayer, since God revealed this idea of truth to me, is that, very simple, that truth would be revealed to this country and to the world. And I'm going to ask that you take up that prayer. But not just truth in a political sense or in society or in events that are taking place, although that is a truth that I desperately pray will be seen by all, okay? But that the truth of who Christ is, the Savior, sustainer of this universe, that's the ultimate truth that all must see. Pray that truth would be made obvious and that truth would shine through all the political talk and all the misinformation that's taking place. And I'm going to close in a prayer. I'm going to do it from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43:16. You might just want to write that reference down. Isaiah 46:16-21. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wetlands, in the wastelands. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praises. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you want to do a new work in this land, in our lives, and in this world. And Father, I pray that your truth would be made known, Father, not only in our hearts, but Father, in the hearts of those that we love, in the hearts of those that we come in contact with each and every day. And Father, in the hearts of those that we may never meet around this world, but who desperately need to know who you are, that they may know your salvation and they may know your truth. Father, help us be vessels that you use to proclaim your truth from the mountaintops. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody. Go share God's truth with someone today.